All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with me for this next session as we're going to look at personal evangelism. And there's a lot of different ways to say personal evangelism. I've kind of made all of these major points start with P, the pastor that we looked at last time, personal evangelism that we're going to look at today. And then in our next session, we'll look at promotion, which is marketing and reaching out into your community through advertising and things like that. And then our fourth session on preservation. And then we've got the conclusion. I need to find a P word for the conclusion, but all that's still coming up. But in our session today, we're going to look at personal evangelism, or how do you mobilize your church to share their faith? And so if you remember, evangelism has two sides to it. The side of attracting a crowd to the congregation. So you do some kind of marketing or some kind of attractional outreach to bring a crowd to worship. And we're going to spend more time on that in our next session. But then at the same time, it's about mobilizing the congregation, the committed, and the core to go back out and reach people who are in the community. And so that's what we're going to try to do here. We're going to try to talk about how do we mobilize the church, starting with you that are part of these sessions, how do we mobilize the church to go out and reach their community for Christ? And so I want to talk to you about how do you give your congregation tools to invite their friends. And you know, our model for this, and let's read this verse out loud. Our model for this is actually Andrew in the scripture. And if you've ever been a part of a Billy Graham crusade or something similar to that, you may have even heard of Operation Andrew. It's a whole personal evangelism training that's based around this one verse. But it's John chapter 1, verses 41 to 42. And I want us to read it out loud together. So if you're by yourself, just read it with me. It'll feel a little weird, but we'll still do it. And then if you're with a group, let's all read it out loud together, starting with the first thing. Ready? Go. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Good job. Now let's go back and look at it. Notice it says the first thing. So Andrew, he had discovered the Messiah. He had found Jesus Christ. And so he has this heart to share his faith. And he goes and he finds his brother Simon. Excuse me. And you know from the scripture that Simon is actually Simon Peter. And this is going to be Peter who goes on to lead the early church and the church of Jerusalem. But at this point, he doesn't know the Messiah. He's been looking, he's been open, but he has not found the Messiah. So Andrew, his brother, comes to him and says, "Simon, you gotta come see this. I found the Messiah," which is Christ. And you know, that's really Jesus' name. It's Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Like my last name is Searcy. That's not Christ's last name. His first name is Jesus, but it's the Messiah, the Christ. And so then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. So I want you to think about, how could you be like Andrew? How could you bring people to meet Jesus? How could you have that kind of excitement? How could your congregation have that kind of excitement to say, "We found the Messiah, we found Jesus, and now we're going to go and we're going to invite our brother, we're going to invite our sister, we're going to invite our cousin, our uncles, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends from the gym, or the people that we see on a regular basis in our hobbies or activities. We're going to invite them to come to church where they can learn more about the Messiah, about who Jesus is." So this is really powerful. A recent survey found that 60 to 80%, and so again, it's different surveys, but it's between 60 and 80% of first-time guests in a growing church come because of a personal invite. So a church that's really good at marketing, they may see 60% of their people come to faith in Christ. A church that is really big on personal evangelism, they may see 80% of their first-time guests come because of a personal invite. So the truth is, the fastest way to reach people, the fastest way to bring in the unchurched, is through mobilizing your congregation to reach their friends. So it's fast and it's effective. Now, you want to do both. We're going to look at promotion next time, so it's not just do personal evangelism, because even though personal evangelism is fast, it's limited, because people only know so many people. And only so many people are ever going to do it anyway. And so in a healthy church, you know, it's very hard to get 100% of your congregation to invite their friends. When I wrote the book Ignite, that maybe some of you have been reading along with me as we go through these sessions, when I wrote the book Ignite, I wanted to subtitle the book, how to double your church in a day. But my publisher thought that was a little too hyperbolic. They didn't think that would really work, so we ended up calling it Sparking Immediate Growth in Your Church. But I really thought, you know, every church could double in a day, and your church could double in a day. In fact, your church could double this Sunday, and it's really, it only takes me a few sentences to explain how. Your church could double this Sunday if everybody invited a friend to attend with them. So if you would invite your friends to join you, then your church could double this Sunday. If everybody invited a friend, a church of 100 would be a church of 200. A church of 1,000 would be a church of 2,000. So why aren't people doing that? Well, that's the challenge of evangelism. So everybody should invite their friends every week, but they don't. And so we have to challenge them to do it. We have to train them to do it. We have to remind them of what this is all about. And a key reminder is this other stat that I put in your notes that says 1 in 4 friends say they will attend church with a friend for the first time they're invited. I kind of blew that. Let me read it again. 1 in 4 friends say they will attend church with a friend the first time they are invited. So think about that. A friend invites another friend, and 1 out of 4 times, that friend is going to say yes to that invitation. So if you invite 4 people, one of them will say yes to that invitation. Now, what this study also went on to say is if you circled back and made a second invitation, and if you coupled this with prayer and some intentionality, you could see as many as 50% of your friends come for the first time that they are invited. So again, it's all about the relationship. If you've got a relationship with them and you've been investing in them, then more likely they're going to say yes to an invitation. If it's kind of a cold invite and you hardly know them, you know, you just met them for the first time last week, it may only be 1 out of 4. But the point is, a lot of people will come to church with a friend if they are invited. And so what we have to do is we have to invite. We have to challenge our congregation to invite our friends. Now, this invitation has to be surrounded by, you know, some type of incarnational evangelism. So this means that you mobilize your people to pray for their friends. You teach them to live out their faith. You know, I have this image sometimes that maybe somebody invites a friend to church and then that friend is surprised. I didn't think you went to church. Well, that's not exactly the best reaction. You want them to live out their faith in real life so that their friends see that, so that their coworkers see that, so that their family members see that. And then that invite has sort of a moral authority to it, if you will. So the more your congregation lives out their faith, then the more they're going to be able to invite people to come to church with them and share their faith with them. Now, people should invite their friends every week, but why don't they? Well, one of the reasons is because we don't always structure our calendar in the church, or we don't always structure the church in such a way that people know when it's best to invite their friends or if they know how to invite their friends. So I want to cautiously give you a personal evangelism formula. Now, I don't like giving church growth formulas, or I don't like giving little pithy formulas or whatever, but I think this one is actually true, that personal evangelism is a combination of 3 things. It's a combination of tools, T-O-O-L-S, plus training, plus timeliness. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not sure timeliness is a word, but I just kind of made up a word to fit my formula here, and I'll explain each of those. So let's work in reverse order. Let's look at timeliness. One of the ways that you can mobilize more people to invite their friends, mobilize more people for personal evangelism, is give them a reason why they should invite their friends next week or next month. So you got to put a timeliness factor on it. People don't do what they should do. They do what's urgent. And so people get distracted. They've got a lot of things going on in their life week to week, and they forget to invite their friends. But if you can add some urgency to it, if you can add some timeliness to it, then they're more likely to do it. So for example, one of the reasons people invite their friends on Easter is because a month before Easter, you say Easter's coming up. 2 weeks before Easter, you say Easter's coming up. 1 week before Easter, you say Easter is coming up. And so they know Easter. It's time-bound. It's in their calendar. It's something that they know, so they can invite their friends to it. And that's really why you ought to work to maximize Easter. You ought to make it a goal every year on Easter to double on Easter. And I'll help you do that through my Maximizing Easter seminar if you want to use that or study that after you get done with this course. But so people invite their friends to Easter because they know when Easter is. Well, if you utilize big days like we've been talking about, what if you could create two or three other Easters throughout the year? And I don't mean that they're going to be Resurrection Sundays. They're never going to compete with Easter, but they can be sort of like mini Easter, like mini eggs. You know, you got eggs and then you got mini eggs. My wife loves those Cadbury mini eggs, but I digress here. I have to keep moving. So you create this mini big day, M-I-N-I, big day in February. You create a smaller big day in the summer. You create another big day in the fall. And so now, just like you're building up to Easter, you take all of January and you build up towards your February big day. You take all of the month before school starts to build up to your fall big day. You take a period of time in the summer to build up toward your summer big day. And so now you're telling people, four times a year, I want you to invite your friends. Now, again, they should invite every Sunday. They should bring friends with them every Sunday. But again, people don't do what they should do. They do what's urgent. And so you create these moments of urgency inside your church in February with Easter and the fall and other big days that you might plan. So you got to put a time frame on it, and you got to give some timeliness to it. A second part of the personal evangelism formula is training. So you've got to train your people to invite their friends. Now this can be a very simple kind of training. For example, this doesn't have to be a 6-week class or even a 6-hour class or even a 60-minute class. It can be a 6-minute class. So let's say it's the week before Easter, and everybody shows up on the week before Easter, and you give them 10 invite cards, 10 little business card size invites that says, you're invited to Easter at our church, and it's got the service times and locations on the back. So everybody shows up on that Sunday, and they get these 10 invite cards. Then what you might do in the service is you might take 6 minutes and explain how to use those invite cards. Help them think about how they could distribute those. You know, just challenge them to walk over to a coworker before the workday starts or as they're going to lunch and say, you know, this is something that's really important to me. I think you would really enjoy it. Why don't you join me next week for Easter at First Church? And then you teach them to hand out the invite. Or you say, you know, get a few extra stacks and put some in the break room and put it right beside the donut so that everybody comes in and they get the break. They're able to get the invite cards. But you could take 6 minutes and share 3 or 4 ways that people in your church could use that invite card. And that's a little training that you do for the invite cards. Now, if it's something bigger, like a servant evangelism event, you might have to do 60 minutes of training before you go out and do the event. But you want to help people feel comfortable in doing what you're asking them to do. And even though evangelism is something that God calls all of us to do and He empowers us to do, I will tell you that a lot of people are afraid to do it. And one of the ways you can alleviate those fears and mobilize more people is to give them a little bit of training and help them see how this works. And then that takes us to our first T, which I've referenced already, and that is tools, T-O-O-L-S. You want to put tools in people's hands. It could be little invite cards. It could be the tool of an event that they're going to be involved in. But it's some way that they can share their faith beyond just the verbal sharing of their faith. And I'm all for training people to share their faith verbally, to share their faith using nothing but the Bible and take people through the Romans Road, to share their faith on a napkin using one verse of evangelism or something like that. But most people are more ready to share their faith if you put a little tool in their hand, an invite card, or some kind of action that they can take. So that's a pretty good personal evangelism formula. And you think about, okay, as I go up to my big days, as we go toward special services, as we go toward an outreach period of time, how do I put tools in people's hands? How do I train them to use those tools? And then how do I time bound that so that they do it with urgency and they know when to do it, and so they're more likely to do it? Hope that formula is kind of helpful to you. All right, now that I've given you this personal evangelism formula, look in your notes. I want to give you 4 personal evangelism principles. And this, again, is just to kind of lay the foundation for personal evangelism in your church. The first principle that I want to give you is called the principle of imitation. One of the ways that you get more people involved in sharing their faith is that they see you sharing your faith. And so, Pastor, if we go back to our last session, this can start with you. If people see or hear about your sharing your faith, then they're more likely to do it. And so people say, I'll do it if I see you do it. Well, this is why that 5% rule that I gave you earlier is so important. If 95% of your church sees 5% of the church involved in evangelistic activities, sharing their faith, serving the community, and reaching the unchurched, then they're more likely to do it. So somebody has to model the way, and that's the principle of imitation. A second principle is the principle of urgency, and we just talked about that in our formula. The principle of urgency, that people don't do what they should do, they do what's urgent. So what you want to do is you want to create time to time in your church, urgency. Urgency to invite your friends to Easter. Urgency to invite your friends to a fall big day. Urgency to invite your friends to the kickoff of a new series. And you compound that urgency by putting tools in their hands and giving them a little bit of training on how to use those tools. Next is what I would call the principle of stress and release. The principle of stress and release. Now, to explain that, There is a little bit of flow when it comes to your evangelism process. So some people have gotten so excited about the big day idea that I've talked about that they try to create 12 big days a year. And so every month they've got a big day. And so what they do is they stress their people too much. Invite your friends to the January series. Invite your friends to the February series. Invite your friends to the March series. Invite your friends to the April series. Well, what happens is, if you put that kind of stress consistently over and over, it actually loses its punch. And so it's actually better to do a few less big days and to stress your people when it comes to leading up to Easter and then give them a little break after Easter. So if you talk about personal evangelism for the 3 weeks leading up to Easter, well, maybe don't say a whole lot about that for the 3 weeks after Easter. Now you can celebrate the results the 3 weeks after Easter. You can talk about the number of people who did invite their friends the 3 weeks after Easter. You can have life-changing stories the 3 weeks after Easter. But what you're kind of doing is you're saying, okay, these 3, 4, 5 times a year, I'm going to stress our people to invite their friends. And then the other times of the year, I'm going to focus on other parts of the evangelism system, and I'm going to give them a little bit of a break. And that seems to work better because, you know, if everything is urgent, then what? Nothing becomes urgent. So you create these periods of urgency, but then you also have these periods of breaks in between. There's an ebb and flow inside of the evangelism system. Connected to that is the principle of celebration. The principle of celebration. And this simply means that whatever you reward, whatever you celebrate is going to be repeated. And so if you're constantly celebrating people inviting their friends, then more people are going to invite their friends. If you're constantly celebrating the number of people who come to faith in Christ over the previous week, then people are going to pray for more people to come to faith in Christ. If you're constantly celebrating baptism, then baptism becomes part of your culture, and maybe you can close that gap of the number of people who come to faith in Christ versus the number of people who are baptized. And then, of course, you want to celebrate people inviting their friends. And so if you stress people out to invite their friends for 3 weeks, then 3 weeks after the big day, celebrate those results and talk about the good things. And, you know, even if the results weren't what you expected or maybe what you wanted, there's always something to celebrate. There's always some life change there. So maybe you don't celebrate the number of people who actually attended, but you celebrate the number of people who invited or said they would invite, or the number of people who agreed to pray for their unchurched friends. There's always something that you can celebrate. And again, whatever you celebrate, it's going to be repeated. That which gets rewarded gets repeated. Finally, there's the principle of expectation. And that's just on your part. You know, when you go into this evangelism process of challenging people to share their faith, and we're going to look here at some invite tools that you can give them. When you're putting these tools in people's hands and you're challenging people to invite their friends, you've got to expect that they're going to do it. You've got to have faith that they're going to do it. You can't do it reluctantly, or you can't do it cautiously, or you can't do it apologetically. You do it expectantly. We're expecting. You know, I'm challenging my church to pray for their unchurched friends. I'm expecting 50% of the church to do it. I'm challenging people to go out and do a servant evangelism project. I'm expecting 5% of the church to show up and do it. And so according to your faith, may it be done unto you. And you know, this is so critical. And I would challenge all of you to make sure you're the banner wavers. You're the people that are leading the charge You're the people that are out front with great faith and expectancy for your church to do evangelism. And so with that kind of expectation, let me give you some effective invite tools. And this is going to be a list of 9 or 10 things that will help you mobilize your church to invite their friends. So these are effective invite tools. Number one goes back to our principle of invitation, and that is model the way. You've got to model the way. People do what they see you doing. People repeat what they see you living out. And so you've got to model the way. And maybe those of you that are part of these sessions, you say, if nobody else in our church models the way, we're going to model the way. Or pastor, maybe you're watching this session alone, and you could just say, if nobody else in our church is going to invite their friends, I'm going to invite someone, and my family is going to take responsibility. You know, I've seen a lot of churches, particularly smaller churches of 35 or 65. I've seen a lot of churches turn around. Just it starts with just the pastor and their family. And so you take a church of 65 and the pastor has a family of 4. Well, that's almost like 10% of the church right there. It's just in that one family. Definitely 5% of the church is just in that one family. So then the pastor and their family gets excited about inviting their friends. And teenagers start inviting teenagers. Mom starts inviting people in their network. Dad starts inviting people in his network. And then the pastor's family just begins to model the way, and particularly in a smaller church, that can start circulating. That can start turning up and strengthening your evangelism system. It can start raising that evangelistic temperature. But then, of course, in a larger church, and I know some of you, you've got a group of 10 or 15 that are gathered around watching these sessions. You know, you model the way and you say, if nobody else does it, I'm going to do it. And that's really where it starts. Here's another way, another effective invite tool is lead church attenders to pray for the unchurched, to pray for the unchurched. This can be as simple as having people write down on their connection card the names of 3 or 4 people that they're praying for, that they're going to pray for and invite to an upcoming service. But you know, the more prayer that you have, the hotter your evangelistic temperature is going to be. And so there is a percentage of people that may never go out on a servant evangelism project. They may never even invite their friends, but they'll pray for the unchurched community. They'll pray for people. Now, a lot of times what happens is a person who says, I could never share my faith, they start praying, and then God starts working in their life, and then sure enough, they get excited about inviting their friends. But you want to challenge people to pray. Now, one of the ways that we've used this in our church over the years is we've used the period of Lent leading up to Easter, you know, that 40-day period that starts with Ash Wednesday and leads up to Easter. We've used that to mobilize our church to pray. And we've had some prayer gatherings, maybe after a service or before a service on a Sunday. And then we've had some devotions or other reminders that we might send. But on the first Sunday after Ash Wednesday, we get people to commit to pray for 3 friends they're going to invite to Easter. Pray for 5 friends they're going to invite to Easter. And they mark it and say, I'll be praying for these friends. And then maybe a month before Easter, we invite them to share their names. Who are the names of the people that you're praying for? And now we've got a big prayer list of names that we can begin to pray with them about. And we encourage them, and then we eventually move it from prayer to invitation. And that's kind of related to the next one, which is have people write down the names of the unchurched friends. So it's okay to pray for the community. It's okay to pray in general. God certainly hears that prayer. But as you know, the more specific your prayer can be, the more powerful your prayer can be. And so you want to have them write down the names. Connected to that is utilize invite cards. So if you're having them write down 10 names, give them 10 invite cards. If they're writing down 5 names, give them 5 invite cards. Or go ahead and give them 10. You know, they could use 10 anyway. But you put tools in the hands of people to invite their friends. And you'll see some samples of that in some of your appendix material. You'll also see some samples of different ways that we collect the names of the prayer request as well, through like an invest and invite card and other things. Then another effective invite tool is to engage members in entry-level evangelism outreaches, or to engage members in entry-level outreach evangelism. And this is one of the things I love about servant evangelism, is it's not scary. It's easy to go out and hand out bottles of water with an invite card on a hot day in a park. It's easy to go out in a business community and give out granola bars as people are coming to work, and you include with that granola bar an invite to the church. And so people can get involved in that. And so you want to create entry-level activities that people can get involved in. And your big days, in many ways, that's an entry-level activity. You know, we want people to be able to share their faith and lead people to faith in Christ over the dinner table or at a lunch meeting. But a lot of times we've got to start before that. Just get them out there engaged. Just get them out there doing something. Just get them out there praying or watching or seeing the community so that they get a heart for what they should do. We've talked already about utilizing big days and special events. You know, there's big days that you do at your church. There's other special events where you might have a guest speaker or some guest musicians. You want to encourage friend invites to things like child dedication, baptism, and testimonials. You know, I mentioned earlier about many M-I-N-I big days that you might have. But you know, a child dedication, it can almost be like a little mini big day, because maybe you're going to be bringing 14 families up on stage and you're going to dedicate their children. And as you do that, you think about, well, that's 14 parents that are going to be there, either single parents or more traditional families. So that's going to be a group of people. But then maybe they have aunts and uncles and grandparents or friends of the family. And so whenever somebody signs up for a child dedication, say, here's the date of the child dedication. Who could you invite that particular day? And sometimes we have a high attendance on a child dedication day just because we get all of these families who support the families that are being dedicated to show up. And that's a great opportunity for me now to not only speak to our people, but to speak to, you know, a group of 50 or 60, maybe other special guests that are there in our church. Same thing for baptism. As soon as a family member, or as soon as somebody signs up to be baptized, have them think about family members or coworkers that they may want to invite to come and support them at the baptism. And so then in that 10 or 15 minutes you have to explain what baptism is, you get to present the gospel to a good number of lost people who may not have been in church for a long time. And the same thing with testimonials. You know, if you've got somebody giving a testimony, tell them to invite their whole office to come and hear their big day where they're going to shine and give their testimony there at the church. Connected to that is train people to share their faith. Train people to share their faith. You know, have a three-hour class twice a year where you teach something like The Difference Maker. And you can take my book and have them all read it. Then they can show up and you can teach them the different elements of that Difference Maker faith sharing section. Teach people how to use the Romans Road. Teach people how to use the bridge diagram. Teach them how to use one verse evangelism. Teach them how to write their testimony. And again, you won't get everybody, but if you're only looking for 5%, so you get, you know, 20 people in this class and 15 people in the fall class, and suddenly you're starting to turn the tide of evangelism. And then we're going to deal with this next time, but provide air cover for personal invites through promotion. So I just want to remind you that personal evangelism is one side of the coin. Promotion is the other side. So you teach people to share their faith, but maybe as they're sharing their faith leading up to Easter, you're doing direct mail into their neighborhoods to the very friends and coworkers and family that they're inviting. More on that next time. Then a little turn of phrase here is somebody called it this, and I thought it was kind of clever. Utilize word of mouth marketing. Now, most of us don't use a mouse anymore on our computers. We've got trackpads and different things, but there are a lot of ways online that you can share your faith. And so one of the things we'll do is we'll give people things they can post on their Facebook, or we'll give them things they can post on their social media, or they can put up on their website that invites people to church. And so if there's a big day coming up, we give them digital invites that they can utilize to share their faith as well. And then finally, reward people who invite their friends. We've talked about that. Reward people who invite their friends. You know, sometimes you can reward them just by putting a hand on their shoulder and congratulating them. Other times you can reward them by sending them a note and acknowledging that they invited a friend. But you can do more formal rewards as well. You know, I've seen churches send out Starbucks cards to people who invite their friends. We do a Sunday in the middle of the summer where everybody who brings a friend gets a free movie ticket. Now, the friend, the first-time guest gets the free movie ticket, but so does the friend who invites them. And that ties in with the summer series that we do that's often based around topics that are raised in some of those summer movies. So there's more ways that you can reward people. There's simple ways, verbal ways, but then more monetary ways that you can reward people. But model the way and reward people. As we wrap up this session, and you've got a lot to discuss as you go back through these notes, and thinking about how you can mobilize your congregation to share their faith, how you can share your faith. As we do that, let me leave you with this verse, and then I want to give you a couple of next steps. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It says, the harvest is so great. Isn't that true? Your community is so large. The harvest is so great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. So I want you to do that. You know, the harvest is great in your community. So one of the things I want you to do is I want you to pray for people in your church to rise up and start sharing their faith. I want you to think about maybe some training events that you could put on the calendar. I want you to think about how leading up to your next big day, and maybe Easter's around the corner as you're engaging this session, or maybe you've got some other special day coming up. Think about how you could do a 3 or 4 week process ramping up to that big day and get people to share their faith. And then here's another activity I want you to do. I want you to go around the room and I want you to make a list of 10 people that you know who do not go to church, more likely doesn't have a relationship with God, and I want you to begin to pray for them. Because one of the keys to getting your church to pray and develop a prayer list is for you to make your prayer list first. And so, Pastor, you lead the way, and you start thinking of 5, 6, 7, 8 people that you could invite. And if you can't think of 10, just write down the numbers that you can think of, and then ask God to fill it in between now and our next session. So again, you take responsibility. You say, if nobody else is going to share their faith, we, as this group that's committed, we will share our faith and we will model the way. So I hope you have a great discussion. See you next time.